And it is Psalm 121, and it's going to be responsive. So if you can please read the bit in bold. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to stumble. He who watches over you will not sleep. Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, so that the sun shall not strike you by day, neither the moon by night. The Lord shall keep you from all evil. It is he who shall keep your soul. The Lord shall keep watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth forevermore. Let us pray. The Lord is here. He sees each one of us. He cares about our needs. He will answer our prayers. Let us worship him with confidence, for he does not change. His loving care lasts forever. Loving Lord, as we come into your presence, help us to remember that we belong to you and that we can always trust you. Teach us something new about you today. May we remember that however well we think we know you, there is always more to learn. Amen. And we're now going to sing a block of three songs. Welcome, King of Kings. We believe in God the Father, and great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. Our prayers, and the prayer of praise has a response. When I say God is our helper, can you respond with, we will put our trust in him? God is our helper. We will put our trust in him. Lord, you made the heavens and the earth. We can look up to the hills and admire their beauty. We can wonder at the mighty seas and all the plant life and creatures. But you are the one who makes all life possible. God is our helper. We will put our trust in him. You are always there. When we are asleep, you still watch over us. We sometimes nod off when we know we should stay awake, but you never do. You watch over kingdoms and continents, but you also care about each one of us. God is our helper. We will put our trust in him. Night and day, your love for us never ceases. You want to keep us from the harm we do ourselves when we break your law. Our lives are safe with you. God is our helper. We will put our trust in him. Wherever we go, whether we go out or come in, you go with us. God is our helper. We will put our trust in him. Gracious God, we confess that we can easily become discouraged when things get difficult. We don't find it easy to understand whether you want us to keep going or not. But instead of asking you, we stop praying and worry about it instead. For forgetting to pray and for losing confidence in you, forgive us, Lord.
God will grant justice to those who cry to him day and night.
Gracious God, we confess that we sometimes lose faith in your justice. We live in a world where many things are not fair. Some have enough and others do not. People do wrong things and get away with it, whilst good people struggle, without anyone saying, well done. We look at all these things happening and say that you don't care. We want you to act now and forget that your time is best for not trusting in your justice. Forgive us, Lord.
Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?"
Gracious God, we confess that sometimes our faith is very weak, and we do not do the things that will build it up. We don't read our Bibles as much as we should. We forget to pray, and we don't listen to the voice of your Spirit. We are not ready to obey you because we are too busy about our own concerns. For neglecting the things that will make our faith strong, forgive us, Lord.
In your word, you tell us not to forget what we have learned.
Gracious God, you showed your great love for us by sending Jesus to die while we were still sinners. To all who are truly sorry, Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." We have learnt that you are a God who hears and forgives. Thank you that when we are truly sorry, you give us a new start. Help us to receive this forgiveness thankfully. Help us by your Spirit to listen to you more, to keep praying, and to have faith in your power to change everything, even us. Amen. And we'll now say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. We're going to be thinking together about prayer this morning, and I'm hoping I'm not the only one in the church this morning that sometimes forgets to pray, or sometimes tries to do things my way instead of asking the Lord for help. If I am the only one in the room who's like that sometimes, then you may as well go home and pray. Sometimes you pick up a gem when reading a book, don't you? And I found some years ago, Eddie Askew, that's really quite old now, but wrote this reflection about prayer, which I just love, and I wanted to share that as an introduction to our theme about prayer, which might seem like the simplest of concepts, but something we need to be constantly reminded of and remind ourselves of. Eddie says, "I wish I could have heard the apostles pray. What did they pray for? How did they pray? Before they wrote their gospels and letters, did they pray? When they wrote the words the Lord spoke, the miracles the Lord performed, and the conversations the Lord had. They wrote about the life of Christ. Their prayer was his life, so that his life could become their life. When they prayed they could be more like him. The purpose of praying, the need to pray, is not so that God can understand me better, nor is it for him to become more like me. The purpose of praying is so that every breath that I take, every word that I say, every deed that I do is his. If I want to know more about God, then I need to pray. If I want to learn more about myself, then I need to pray. If I want to make the right decisions in my life, then I need to pray. Prayer is not a one-way form of communication with God. It is not my opportunity to get a word in. It is not like a visit to a counsellor where I do all the talking or complaining and he does all the listening and understanding. It is much more than that. It's a time to be in him, with him, and through him. When we pray, we should not be so concerned about the words we choose. Praying is not something we do only at a specific moment in the day. Praying should be like breathing, something that is done regardless of where we are. We should pray at work, at home, in our conversations with friends and family, in every single event in our life. When we go somewhere, do something or say something, we should always keep in mind the travelling the Lord did, the people the Lord encountered, the questions people asked, the difficulties he suffered, the challenges he faced, and the rejections he understood. In this way, our prayer becomes life. I sometimes think I wish I could write a sermon like that. Fantastic words, written a very long time ago, but so pertinent for us every single day. So I hope that just gives a little flavour and an introduction to the theme of prayer for us to be thinking about this morning. We're going to sing two more songs, hymns now, and I believe the first one is Prayer is Like a Telephone. This is a new one for me. I hope the youngsters at the back particularly know this one and can give me some pointers. Followed by Father, Hear the Prayer We Offer.
From Ruth chapter 1 verses 1 to 8. Naomi loses her husband and sons. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Naomi and Ruth returned to Bethlehem. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she'd been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me." Thank you, Lord, for this precious word.
So the New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, which is the parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith. Will he find faith on the earth? This is the word of the Lord.
Loving God, may the thoughts of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Amen. We've already spent some time so far in our worship unpicking, unpacking, and talking about the power of prayer, and that, as I mentioned at the beginning, simple concept, that one little word, is a very complex and challenging one sometimes. But I want to spend some more time thinking about prayer. And I was remembering when I was a teenager, it was the thing, especially in church circles, to wear those bracelets with initials on. Does anybody remember these? Oh, good. That's a huge help. So now I'm going to test you to see if you can remember or if you'd heard of some of them. So I think the easy one to start with, WWJD.
What would Jesus do?
Yes. Okay. It's going well so far. Right. FROG. Yes, I knew you'd get them. BIBLE.
Basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Yes, Janet, you're on form this morning. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. PUSH. Oh, that'll do. I'll go now. I don't need to teach you anything. But we know, don't we, that we might not always get the answer we want. We might not get the answer when we want. But that reading made me question, should we be persistent in our prayer? So I want to unpack that a bit this morning. Part of me thinks I've realised that just because we're persistent in our prayer, God won't tire of us asking, or give in like a child nagging to a parent. Those were the two kind of thoughts about, are we persistent? Should we be persistent in prayer? Part of me thinks absolutely, definitely, because God will never tire of our prayer, but nor will he give in like a parent to a nagging child. But then I wanted to think about that a little bit more. And the story from Luke we've heard begins with a widow who had this adversary who was trying to take advantage of her. It's very likely someone was trying to cheat her out of money or land, possibly that her husband had left. And then in the old, wonderful Old Testament story of Ruth, she and Naomi had returned as widows and they had no legal right to claim the land. It had belonged to their husbands. Obviously, we know the end of the story, and Boaz married Ruth and became her redeemer. But challenging moments about prayer. In Jesus' parable, this widow not only had the hurdle of being a woman, she faced this terrible judge. He didn't have any fear of God, nor did he care what anybody thought about him. And the poor widow just keeps on begging. Begging the judge to grant her justice. She didn't just ask once and say, let me know what you decide. She kept on peppering his ears with persistent petitions. One could say she prayed until something happened. I heard a story about a young man who went to Thornton's. Do you all know what Thornton's is? Do you have Thornton's here? You probably have Hotel Chocolat here, don't you? Well, he went in to buy three boxes of chocolates, a really little teeny one with, you know, just two little chocolates in and a little bow, and a medium, quite nice-sized chocolate box, And then this really large, lavish, luxe box with a big red bow looked beautiful. The man behind the counter said to him, "What's with the three boxes?" He said, "Ah, well," he said, "I'm going to my new girlfriend's house. I'm going to have supper with her family. And then we're going out. And if she lets me hold her hand, I'll give her the little tiny box of chocolates. If she lets me kiss her on the cheek, I'll let her have the medium one. But if she lets me smoochy-woochy, I'll give her the big one." He paid for his boxes of chocolates and he left. And that evening, as he sat down at dinner with his girlfriend's family, he asked if he could say the grace before the meal. And he began to pray and pray and pray. And he prayed and prayed and prayed. It lasted several minutes, and just as he was finishing and he said amen, his girlfriend leaned over and he said, "You never told me you were so religious." And he said, "You never told me your dad works in a chocolate shop." He prayed and prayed and prayed. I'll leave it to your imagination as to what he was praying for. But Jesus told his disciples in our gospel reading about their need to pray. When? Always. Using the parable of the unjust judge, there's an encouragement for us to persevere in prayer, but also persistent in our work for justice. I always, when I'm thinking of prayer, my mind goes back to the women at the tomb. When they got there, what about that stone? Who's going to roll that stone away? It's too big for me to move. That stone for me in my life represents those insurmountable problems, the barriers that block our way, the ones that we feel are too big for us to move, the ones we don't know what we can do with. And we may say we're not able, but with the confidence of the resurrection, we know that we can trust in God because he is able. Our scriptures tell us repeatedly that God is able. And just a few examples. Hebrews 2, he is able to strengthen those who are tempted. Hebrews 7, he is able to save those who draw near. Philippians 2, he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Jude 24, he is able to keep you from falling. In God, all things are possible. And it's that realization, isn't it, that it's not by our own efforts alone that we can make a difference, but by the fact that Christ Jesus conquered death for us. But it's sometimes a challenge. And those moments when our faith is a little weaker, those moments where we forget to put our trust in God and try to do things in our own strength. The other thing it's really good to remind ourselves is that God works through so many people. And often we find it in the most surprising places or in the ones we least expect. In my time working as a prison chaplain, I met several men with a violent past, but one in particular stood out. He was a quite heavy set, probably 6'3", quite heavily tattooed man, quite scary looking, the sort of person you might just, when you walk past. But as I walked past, he was sitting in a small classroom with a young Irish traveller, in his early 20s, working his way through one of those Janet and John reading books, because this young man couldn't read or write. And this huge, heavy set, scary look, if I'm honest, he was intimidating looking, was patiently, word by word, doing phonics. I could see God working through this man. Even if this man had no idea what faith was, I have no idea. I'm not there to judge. But I could see God's work in the most surprising place in the most surprising way. God works through so many channels. And we need to remember every single day of the week, all throughout the year, that we're living in a Good Friday world, but we are Easter people. The world is full of suffering, of questioning, of unfairness, of trouble, mistakes, hurt, loss, and grief. It's a Good Friday world. It's full of self-centeredness, deceit, and pain. And it contains all the unknowns, the whats, the ifs, and the doubts. It is a Good Friday world, but we are an Easter people. We know that God is faithful to keep all the promises he has made. And we do not always understand the things that happen. And we may, from time to time, in fact, for me, quite a lot of the time, have way more questions than answers. But we can be certain that if we set our hearts on making a difference, it is by God's strength and by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the gifts of the Spirit, that all things are possible. So back to my original question, which I still don't have the answer to, so, you know, on a postcard if you like. Should we be persistent in our prayer? So I was asking myself this. You might need to pay attention because my thought processes are sometimes quite confusing. Should I pray for something really believing the prayer will be answered, and then the next time pray thank you to God for answering my prayer, even though I haven't had the answer I thought I was praying for? Or should I pray for the same thing over and over again? And if I do pray over and over again, am I lacking faith that God has answered my prayer? This was the dilemma I was chewing through as I was going through this reading. Kathleen Norris, in her book on prayer, says these words, and they are pinned to the wall in my office. Prayer is not asking for what you think you want. Prayer is asking to be changed in ways that you can't imagine. I'm going to read that again. Prayer is not asking for what you think you want, but asking to be changed in ways that you can't imagine. It's more than a ritual, isn't it? It's more than a rubber ring to keep us afloat. It's more than a stuffed animal that we use for comfort. Prayer is a relationship with God, our Redeemer. We do not ask for what we think we want. We ask to be changed in ways that we can't imagine. And then with God and the power of the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. Amen. I chose a good old traditional hymn to
ocean meets the stream and the eagle takes to flight.
Pray for your creation. You gave us the responsibility for all that you have made. You entrusted every living creature into our care, but we have betrayed that trust and neglected our responsibility. We have allowed your earth to become polluted by our greed, damaged by our selfishness, and sucked dry by our materialism. We pray for wisdom for all those attending the COP27 conference. Father, by your Holy Spirit, give us renewed urgency to look after your creation. We pray for the whole church, a blessing of peace and hope to all people everywhere and give thanks for those who are planning to open warm areas and provide warm food for those struggling this winter. We pray for all denominations finding it difficult to fill vacancies and pray for our circuit, lifting to you all the staff and stationing process currently underway. We also lift to you persecuted Christians worldwide, our focus this week being Turkey, number 42 on the Open Doors World Watch List.
And there are no guns, no bombs, and no disease, no hungry mouths to feed. From a distance, we are instruments marching.
Father, we pray for all those who are concerned about providing for themselves and all their families this coming winter, worried about the cost of heating, cooking, and the continued rise in the cost of living generally. We give thanks for all the various agencies providing assistance in the way of food banks and other practical support, and pray they will have sufficient supplies for the demand. We pray for the inequality in the world, the vast gulf between rich and poor, and pray in some way this can be rectified. We pray for the people of the world who see you in terms of a remote power, a punishing God, someone to fear, whereas we know you are in fact a loving God, waiting for all to turn to you. Help us to have confidence to share that knowledge. We pray for friends, neighbours, colleagues, and members of our own family who are without joy, hope, peace, or any real direction in their lives. May they know your revitalising love. We pray for those who day by day face hurt and pain, those facing operations, long-term illnesses, those caring for the sick, dying, elderly, and infirm. Give thanks for all people working in the caring profession and ask, Lord, you would be with those who are struggling. We give thanks for those who work in the emergency services, putting their own lives at risk to save others, and pray that the staffing issues raised in the news this week will soon be resolved. Father, we pray for nations whose people are filled with hatred and aggression towards each other, for communities split by distrust and injustice. We think of Ukraine, Ethiopia, Afghanistan, Israel, Palestine, Haiti, Myanmar, to name but a few. A number of conflicts have now fallen from the news, but may your love bring a desire for reconciliation in these situations. We pray for families where love is being destroyed by jealousy, where where people expect loving relationships to happen without effort or commitment on their part. We pray for children who suffer consequences of their parents' failure to love and care, for children suffering the results of physical, mental or sexual abuse. We pray for favourable resolutions to be found for unfavourable situations. We pray for ourselves. Lord, you know the things which make us stumble and fall, our weaknesses, our secret shame. You know our words of faith and our feeble trust, our good intentions. Wisdom, courage, gentleness, mercy, faith, and love. And all these prayers we lift to you through your Son and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're now going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.